We're going to be continuing on with our Jesus for Life series. And the thing I'd say is that when we hold to Jesus' teaching, have you ever gone along and you're reading something you've read so many times, you say, I know the Gospels, I know the story, I know the ending, I know the point, and all of a sudden it hits you, wait a second, this is Jesus speaking. This is his words to me, right? And it just kind of lights up and you realize, I need to pay attention. Because Jesus talks about if we take his truth in and hold to it, we understand it and it sets us free. And so the idea that the things that we're going to talk about today, the things we've talked about before, the idea is that we listen to what Jesus says, and we, even if it feels upside down to how we think, we live according to it, and then we understand it, and then we have a truth, and that truth sets us free to be free. Freedom is this place of not being restrained, to be able to be who we are. We can be these people who are, we talked about before, who can be carefree because we know we're cared for. And so, you know, the last few weeks we talked about don't judge, right? Really important. Why is Jesus telling us? Because he wants us to be free. Because when we judge, it binds us, it holds us. But when we don't judge, when we see people as God sees, it frees us, right? We talked a couple weeks about just don't worry. Because what does worry do? It doesn't free us, it binds us. We need to learn how to not worry so we can live in the present and enjoy what's right in front of us, which worry always steals away. And so today we're going to be talking about this place of receive and give. Receive and give. Now, how many people have watched Let's Make a Deal? It's a game show. Everybody? Oh, I guess there's a new one out, I guess. But who watched the old one? See, man, you guys are watching some kind of TV today. Oh, so let's make a deal. Door number one, door number two. Here's my question for you. Do you prefer receiving or giving? Door number one, door number two. Door number one is receiving. Which do you prefer? Receiving or giving? Now, you don't say it out loud. Now, as you think about that, is that, you know, we're at this spot in which that we kind of know what Jesus says about that, but that may not be how we actually feel, right? What Jesus says about that is remember the words of the Lord Jesus and how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Now, as we look at that, the question is it door number two? And of course, the answer is, I want both, right? But he does say that actually the better of door number one and door two is the place of giving is actually better than the place of receiving. And so when we receive, when I talk about that, it's this place in which that what I mean by receiving is God has asked us to always receive in a place in which that he gives these good and these perfect gifts, and he wants to lavish us on them, and he wants us to receive those things. He's always talking about, come to me, I want to give you things, right? Receiving is this really beautiful thing. And giving is this place that is just what it sounds like. It's giving away. It's taking things we have and giving them to another person. It's giving of ourselves. The way I put that often is, to put it what ourselves means, it means we give with our time and our energy and our money. We give with our time. We choose time we would have used for ourselves. We use it for someone else. We have energy we could use for something for ourselves. We give it to someone else. We have resources that we've been given, and we give those resources to another person. And so as we look at that, you know, we understand, I want both. And Jesus definitely is not saying that receiving is bad. It's actually something that he just talks about all the time. It's this place of him giving good gifts. And he knows us so well, and he wants to give us all these things that we need. But we, as followers of Jesus, let me just take this in. Every day, we need to be increasing the degree we receive, and we need to be increasing the way we give. Right? Now, giving is better than receiving. Now, what I would find on that is my natural flesh says, no way. Right? That is not my natural tendency. In fact, the world tells me that is definitely crazy because we understand what everybody gets excited about is when they get stuff, right? But Jesus says, no, actually, both are good, but actually giving is actually better than that. And for some of us, maybe we don't say, well, we know giving is good, right? But here's how we think about it. It's really good for the other person, So I should do it, but it's not really good for me, right? This is a concept that's actually quite a bit through Christianity. I've heard it in many teachings. And the concept is kind of like this, is that we are people who are receiving from God. Like right now, you're in the taking in mode. You're worshiping, you're receiving, you're trying to understand what God's saying. You're looking at the scripture. It could be a time of your devotion in your car as you're worshiping on the way to work, or your personal time with God, or whatever those things are, right? The receiving, those are the places that fill us up. And guess what? Then we go out and love people and drain it out, right? That's the concept. This happens. I hear people all the time, this is where you get your battery charged. What does that mean about what happens after you leave here and start taking care of your kids or caring about your neighbor or going to work with that boss that's difficult? That's where you drain it off. Now, in the vineyard back in the 80s, John Wimber, who was the head of the vineyard, the kind of the founder of the vineyard, who had a church in Anaheim, he had a person come up to him after a service. And this person had this kind of concept. And they said, and so his terminology was this: I need to be fed, right? And so I need to build up calories so then I can expend calories out there in the world. That's kind of the way it was then. So he used a term when he came up to John afterwards, and he said, you know, John, what the Sunday experience is and the way you're teaching, I just need more meat. That's a Christian term for substance, right? I really need more of God in the Word and that sort of thing. And John Wimber, which he always does in his pithy sayings, which often hold a very deep theological truth, he says, the meat is on the street. He kind of yelled it, and this guy goes, huh? But what he was saying in that was, if you want substance, if you want the best things, it's not on the receiving end. The best thing is on giving it away on the streets to people who need it. Right? And that is the teaching of Jesus. Jesus did not teach filling and giving yourself is the receiving part. Filling yourself is the receiving part, and giving of yourself is the draining part. That's not at all. In fact, he says, man, my food is to do the will of the Father. That's where he found the best parts of God. So understanding that, we're going to turn, if you want to turn to your Bibles, whether a page or a screen, why don't you turn to Matthew 7? We're just going to go through this teaching that may be pretty familiar with you, for you, kind of step by step. Let's start out with verse 7. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, verse 7, three words. Ask, seek, and knock. Getting the point across with three different things that have some similarities but kind of show some different things in that. If you look in the Greek, they're pretty much what they say they are. It translates pretty straightforward, but to ask is really just a request or to petition. To seek is really this place, it's much more the place of, I've lost something, I must find it. I must have this thing I need, and I'm searching for it, right? It's the very same Greek word that it was used for in the right context for Jesus when he was lost, I mean, when the parents lost track of Jesus at the temple at 12, and they went back and they seek to find him. They were like, if you can imagine what it felt like, I got to find my child, right? And they were just looking everywhere, okay? That's the word it's using. And the next is to knock, and this is a little aggressive, right? It shows there's something getting in the way. I need to get the door to open, and so it's knocking. In fact, the Greek word is bang with a stick. So you guys can bang with a stick in your prayers, right? Now, as you look at this, an illustration that came to my mind as I thought about this is I was at Aldi's, which I'm always at Aldi's, it seems like. But I was at Aldi's, and I was going through the routine. I dump my stuff off my car. I take my cart, and I roll it back, and I just kind of lay it out there so someone can grab it, and I go back to my car, and I can't find my phone. I can't find my phone. You know that feeling? Woo, that feeling. My phone. And so I run back, and the carts are all being taken. The one I left, all these things. And I went into my ask, seek, and knock with a stick mode. I mean, I was like, my need was so much. I want this. I was going to find my phone. And so I asked strangers, do you have my phone? Could I? Have you seen my phone? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm running around the store. I'm looking for maybe I left it somewhere else. I get to the cashier and I say, make her stop checking people. I want my phone. Hey, and so finally, you know, I badgered her enough. She like, oh, excuse me, all you customers, we have an iPhone missing. Do you mind? You know, so they're announcing it, right? And so, finally, no phone. And that sick feeling in my stomach, but I'm going to go home, do Find My Phone app or whatever. I'm kind of not thinking clearly. I start praying. And I say my prayers like this. Okay, I tell you, God, I'm already in a pandemic. I'm tired. I don't want to lose my phone. Give me a break. I'm just telling you, I'm your kid. Give me a break. I want my phone. I just started telling him, I want my phone. I know your will may be to treat me something. I want my phone. And I just kept... And I was doing it not with a... I was trying to be open. I was just... I had to share my heart of what I needed, right? And then I thought, oh... I thought, I gave the cashier my cell number to call me if she found it. This isn't going to work. So I come in the door like this, and Debbie is like, just kind of sitting quietly. She goes, as soon as I walk in, she goes, hey, Dave, Aldi's called. You must have left your phone there. They have it for you. And I said, how did they call me? She said, oh, they just said, call my wife, and it worked. Now, understanding that, it's like when we convert that to God, it's this place that it's pretty much like, I want to go after this thing. I want to tell God what I need, and I want to tell God my pain. I want to say, I want that, and it's just, I want, if there's something in my way, I want to push past that, right? Now, you know, I remember when we were in the Sunday Lounge, we talked in Matthew 6, where it talks about we talking about praying, and one of the things it said that I remember always looking at as a new Christian especially, it says, you know, don't keep babbling. You know, it basically goes on and says, like the pagans do, they think will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You know, my response to that used to be like, well, just give it to me. Like, if you know it, why do I have to go through all this seeking and asking and knocking? And I would say there's probably... still a bit of mystery in that, but I remember when I first read that, I just didn't understand, is that God is about relationship, right? It's a father and a child, and a healthy child who knows the love of his father always is asking 1,000 questions. What about this? Why about this? Why don't this? Can I have this? No, they're just that's a good, healthy child. And in that process, they build a depth of relationship, and they also grow up and mature, right? And so there's this place that it's this place of connection to God and trust as he asks, and then God shows them what's best and all those kind of things that take place in that dialogue. But that person needs to be who they are. Relationship, the very aspect of relationship, is you being who you are and God being who he is, right? And this is what he loves. And he loves us when we're just where we're at and we're saying what God, we're wanting God to do. And the other thing I'd say in that is that he just wants us to come to him. It's this, when you feel the needs, it's an invitation to experience him. And then, of course, the big thing is we actually influence him. Somehow we influence him as a child, and we also participate in how he does things on earth. We actually pray things in that God wants to see take place. And I can't get my mind wrapped around that, but that's the truth. And so this is really important that we just really understand that we need to be asking, seeking, and knocking. And the other thing I'd say is that then you get to verse 8 and says, and you find you, and the door is opened. And here's what I think is interesting about this, is that the door being open means the things that God has for you are now accessible to you, right? Now, sometimes those things aren't what you necessarily always ask for. Have you noticed that? So we often think about how we ask in the place of the door is opened to the things we want. But really, the door is opened in the sense that it gives us a place where God floods us and we receive what he has for us. Many times, the very things we ask for, sometimes not always, sometimes slightly different, sometimes different timing, right? But we have to understand this asking is actually a place of vulnerability. you're vulnerable when you're really asking and sharing your heart with God of what you desire and need. It's a vulnerable thing. And I think that's why oftentimes people find themselves in a place in which that it's really hard to ask, because here's the question. What if God gives me something that's bad, that's not life-giving? And so many times, because we know that when we're asking like this, we're asking him to give us what we need, he's going to. And what if he doesn't know what you need, and how will that look? So he goes on to say, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, and he'll give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And this is a spot in which that he's basically helping us understand that he is good, right? And he will give us the things that will be good. And so receiving is a really good thing. And God wants us to receive more and more and more. And we do that by engaging with him, right? And so, as you think about that, what is it that you need right now, right? What do you need in your life in the middle of all the things that are going on in your life? What's happening that you need emotionally? What do you need spiritually? What do you need relationally? What do you need circumstantially to change? What do you need physically? You know? And so, as you think about that, is that we need to ask God that way and tell him and get really raw with him in that vulnerable spot. And God will open up the door, right? And the thing about this for me is that when I was a newer Christian, one of my goals was to quit being so needy. If you're a newer Christian and you think, I wish I was mature and wouldn't be so needy, it doesn't change, all right? I've been in this thing over 45 years. I'm more needy than ever. The difference is I realize that's a sign of maturity and not immaturity. And I understand that I need to be growing in dependence and asking more and needing to receive more, right? Isn't it encouraging that Jesus, who modeled the perfect life, being fully human and fully God, had to keep getting away and receiving, had to keep seeking, had to keep knocking, had to keep asking, right? That was his priority. He just received from his Father. To the day, the last breath, he was in his greatest places of receiving. And we have to understand God wants us to be people who actually receive and just always are receiving, whether it be worship or here or in Scripture or in a place of prayer and asking. Just, he wants to receive, have us receive. Now, and then the final part is this, and this is really what it goes to. And verse 12, it's interesting because it seems, when you're just reading along and not paying much attention, it seems to be taking a quick turn that seems strange. Because it's talking about receiving, 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 how you receive, go after it, open yourself up so that you can receive. And then it says, so, and that could be also therefore, which we always talk about, is referring to what just has been said. In light of what has just been said, here's what you need to know. So, in everything, do to others what you would have done, what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. In other words, everything is summed up in that. Just the golden rule. And so what we see in this, and what it's talking about, is this place of, now what you do is you go and give it away. Everything you receive, give it away. A different term would be, you've received love, just give away love. Whatever you've received, just give it away. Now, giving away yourself, again, that means your whole self. It's your time, your energy, your money, the things that God, you now choose to give it away. And this is upside down thing of the kingdom. You know, we often think we're going to secure the things that God has done in our life by holding on to them. And that's not true. The way you secure and multiply the things that God has done in you is by giving them away as quickly as you can. Right? It's this crazy thing in the kingdom. Even if you think about this with, like, in Acts 2 at the church starting, you know how there was 3,000 or more people committing their lives to Jesus at that time? It wasn't through just Peter. It was someone who received Jesus, told their friend about Jesus, they received Jesus, they gave it away as quick, they didn't go to baptism classes or anything. They just told what just happened. Same thing in spiritual gifts. You know, you get a spiritual gift. The way you secure that spiritual gift is you use it like crazy and give it away. This is just a principle of the kingdom. You know, if you're blessed financially, here's how you secure it. Be generous, give it away, right? Anything God gives you, if you experience mercy and grace and forgiveness, give it away as quickly as you can. And so I say that because I just think this is really where we're going as a church. This is how the church will truly be salt and light to the world. That we become marked with all those Christians. They're always receiving this abundance from God, and they always just give it away to everybody, right? And it can happen in the simplest interactions, right? It can take place, and it's real simple, but it can take place by just an action. But it is a choice that you're making, that you're choosing to risk and be vulnerable and give away what God has. And it can happen on a small scale, it can happen on a big scale. And so as you think about that, it's this place in which that it can happen to your family members, to your church, to your workplace, to your boss, to your neighbors, to that person who's serving you at the drive-through. Everybody. It can happen, anybody you run across, that stranger you see. I'm telling you, powerful things can happen when you understand this. And it's a choice of the heart. And it may appear very small, or it may look big. That doesn't make much difference. It may take a lot of time, or it may take very little time or energy. It may involve resources, or it may not. Those are all secondary. The choice is, you're looking at a person in that short, maybe interaction, or that long interaction, you're saying, God, how do you want to love this person? And you give away whatever he's given you. And amazing things happen. And you are not drained. You are filled. And it becomes better than even receiving, as good as receiving is. You know, the verse that I love is this, and this is often used in amounts of money, which it kind of applies, but really, it's really talking about much more than that. It's about giving of yourself. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and it will be put into your lap. For the measure you use will be measured back to you. This is so important. Choose to love in this deep way from your heart, and guess what? It comes back in this way that it's so fulfilling, right? It's this, and I just think for us as a church, we feel like we do, these restrictions are hard, right? And the two things that is happening with me, I am crying out to God to needing to receive from him more than I ever have in my life. I've never been seeking, knocking, and asking at the level I have, and it's been so good. But we have to understand that if we want that to multiply and to grow and to settle into who we are, it is not complete until it's given away, right? And so we say, well, how do I do that? You got a mailman. You got a neighbor. You got somebody walk by. Wherever you see a person this week, decide, I am going to make this encounter a place that God could come through. God, show me what to do. And I'll take whatever you give me, and I'll give it away. All right? The worship team can come up. I want to just kind of close with this last part. This is really something that goes against our natural instincts. But if we do what Jesus said in John 8, that we live by this, then we'll understand it, and that truth will set us free on how we interact with people, right? It'll allow us to be who God made us to be. And so what I want to encourage you is just that this phrase at the end is this place of do to others as you have them do to you. And two things I would like you to have the invitation today about. Is first is receive from God and give it away by treating every person in the way you would want to be treated. And by the way, this includes every person. The person who made that crazy Facebook post that makes you so ticked. That person who's in that political office. That person who's saying these things that you disagree with. That person who doesn't like you. I'm telling you, this works for every person, right? This is how we respond, right? We think, God, how would I want to be treated? That's just such a simple thing that can take us to a profound, powerful action that changes the world. It's what salt and light will look like, I believe, especially in this season right now.